Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your rosary on the road. We're going to give this one more try. I've done two recordings on this subject of the Ascension, and the first one, I was so much in a haze that I just kept wandering off into the distance, and the result was just awful. It just wasn't even a reflection worth listening to. And the second was a retry of the first that I realized had a lot of implications that were very unpleasant, one of which was the direction that I was taking it seemed to imply a denial of the real presence. I realized afterwards that I was walking in along those lines, which means that the reflection was completely useless. So I decided to scrap them both. Didn't post anything yesterday. I'm going to do a new recording today and probably another recording tonight, and then get them both posted and have them all up and going. But for now, I have a prayer request. It's a rather serious prayer request that I've wanted to do. I wanted to do yesterday. I'm going to have to do it today. There's a woman who just had her seventh baby she had a baby in. It's on LifeSite News. This little bit, and she, I believe, was diagnosed with COVID, or she was tested positive or something with that, and she developed pneumonia. She had the baby in October, I think. Developed pneumonia in November, went into the hospital, and they treated her like it was early 2020, and she ended up dying as a result of the treatment. So that infant, that newborn, is without a mother now. That family is without a mother. That husband is without a wife. And it is a horrific thing. Without any commentary on the medical profession, it is a horrific thing that family is going through. And I was asked by somebody who spoke with me personally to pray for her and for that family, so I want to do that. And pray for the repose of her soul. She's a good Catholic. And pray for the healing and well-being of her family. So we're going to do that today. And now, I've got three more installments of this thing to do before I'm done for the year and the hiatus kicks in. I don't want that to discourage anybody, though, from writing in, sending in prayer requests and to the email, just like usual, dailydecad requests at protonmail.com. Decad, remember, DECADE, just like decade, and requests is in the plural, at protonmail.com. You can also reach out to me personally, Mario Goretti at nobodyhasthe.biz on the Fediverse. You can find us on Gab at the Daily Decad. You can comment on the website, praytherosaryeveryday.wordpress.com, or where we're syndicated at exodusamericanus.com. All of those, don't be reluctant to send in prayer requests even during the hiatus. I will get to them when we get back. And I read them and I pray for you on my own personal rosary as well. So as soon as I see it, whatever message it is, I add you to my own prayer list. Just something to bear in mind. Now, today technically is a Friday. And you know what? Nah, never mind. I was going to say, but we're going to pray in English because I missed Thursday. No, we're going to do this in Latin, just like we would on any normal Friday. I'll do another recording tonight. Maybe I'll pray in English. Maybe I'll pray in Latin. It depends on how the mood strikes me. But for now, let's go ahead and get our rosaries out, turn our hearts and our minds to God, and pray for Jessica is her name. I don't know her husband's name or her family name, just a Christian name. And we'll pray for the repose of her soul and for the healing and strengthening of the family that is left behind after this. And being Friday, we'll pray in Latin. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum. Adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, Et dimidi nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimidimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc, et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Salve Regina, Mater Misericordia, vita dulcedo et spes nostri, salve. Ad te clamamus, exulis filia Evi, ad te suspiramus, gementes et flentes in hac lacrimarum vale. Ea ergo, advocata nostra, illos tuas misericordias oculos ad nos converte, et Iesum beatum fructum ventris tui, nobis post hoc exilium ostende. O clemens, o pia, o dulci Virgo Maria. Ora pro nobis, Sancta Dei Genetrix, ut digni officiamur promissionibus Christi. Oremus. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. For the repose of the soul of the handmaiden of God, Jessica, Requiem aeternam dona ea Domine, et lux perpetua ea lucet, et requiescat in pace. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and make thy perpetual light to shine upon her, and may she rest in peace. O most blessed Virgin Mary, who has extended thy protection as a veil over those who come to thee in trust, we beg thee, most powerful intercessor before the throne of thy Son and our God, mediatrix of all graces, extend thy heavenly protection over this family left without a mother. Be to them a mother, as thou art a mother to us all, sons and daughters of God, who believe on the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. And in the name of the same Jesus Christ, who livest and reignest with God the Father and the Holy Ghost, we pray to this one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us and all of our difficulties, in which we require protection, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, advenir regnum tuum. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. When we spoke about the agony in the garden, we quoted the passage from Scripture in which Christ says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." In his ascension, Christ manifests something for us that is extremely powerful. When you think about it, we have here, in Christ's ascension into heaven, two things that he hands on to us. The first one is that he cannot send forth the Holy Ghost without ascending into heaven. In other words, the Holy Ghost will not descend upon us unless Christ ascends into heaven. And the Trinity is satisfied in the completion of the work which the incarnation of the Son is meant to accomplish. And then the Holy Ghost can come forth and, as St. Teresa of Avila said, spread fire upon the earth. And the apostles, without the Holy Ghost, as we see, have a great deal of tepidity, even, or not tepidity, that's the wrong word, I'm sorry, timidity. Even having followed Christ, having witnessed the resurrection, having seen all these signs and miracles and wonder, yet they still do not venture forth from the upper room. As I recently discovered, I'm kind of ashamed I didn't know this, but the cenacle, as it's cenacle, C-E-N-A-C-L-E, is the term apparently used to describe the upper room. They did not venture forth until the Holy Ghost came upon them at Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost enlivened them. Now, of course, our Blessed Mother already had the Holy Ghost upon her, and the power of God overshadowed her, as it says in the Gospels. And yet, as a woman, she knew that her position was not to teach or to instruct. She is there to offer us maternal protection and maternal care, but she is not there to instruct in life, the Church. She's not the head of the Church. But the head of the Church, in fact, the entire hierarchy of the Church, the apostles, could not go forth and do anything without the Holy Ghost, which necessarily descended upon Christ's ascension. So that's thing number one. The second is the manifestation, and this is where I went wrong yesterday in reflecting on this. I attempted to say that we didn't need the flesh, but what it is it's the manifestation of Christ's conquest of the flesh, that he leaves us with himself only under a form which requires faith to accept. In other words, he has left us with himself in spirit and in the flesh, but not in the way that those that cannot understand or are not inclined to understand can grasp and believe in. This is Christ when he was teaching the parables. He said, "It is not given to them to believe, lest they might be converted and saved." Those who are not worthy of the banquet. Now, Christ goes up into the mountain, St. Therese of Lisieux says, and calls who he will. And so it is entirely to God that the decision is left who the elect are to be. And this is made manifest in his ascension. His bodily form, or his body, it's not just his bodily form, it's not like it's a mode that he assumes, it's not an illusion, it's not a mirage. His body, his physical human body, goes up into heaven, permitting, by its sanctification, our entrance into heaven, body and soul, at the final judgment. Manifesting his conquest of our human frailties in the flesh, such that we see that our transfiguration is possible only in him and in the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost. That is what we are left with upon his ascension. We are left with a religion of the Spirit. We are left with a religion of a faith. And we are left with a religion of the confidence that can only come from the reception of the Holy Ghost to those who are able to hear his words and keep them. That's the essence of the ascension. That's why Christ promises us, "I am with you always, even to the consummation of the world." Because he's with us in multiple ways, but he's with us in ways that are only accessible to us if we are prepared to hear and understand what he teaches. Christianity is not an esoteric religion. It's not an occult religion. It's not hidden or mysterious. There are mysteries of the faith, obviously, but it's not a mystery cult. It is accessible to all those who can hear. There are no restrictions placed upon who is prepared to receive the word, in that anyone can come to be prepared to receive the word. But those who are not prepared, those who are wrapped up in the flesh, those who are bound to their own fleshly weaknesses and their own carnality, will not hear the word of God and keep it, and therefore will not be blessed. Remember the woman crying out from the crowd, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the paps that gave thee suck." And Christ responds, "Nay, blessed instead are they who hear the word of God and keep it." It's a humbling moment for our Blessed Mother in her life, but it's also a clear message. One would see the blessedness of the woman that bore the Messiah in human terms, and that she brought forth the Holy One and therefore was sanctified by bringing forth the Holy One. Now, we know better than that. We understand that she was specifically chosen, specifically elect, from the very moment of her conception for this purpose, and that her sanctity must a priori precede Christ's, to be worthy of bearing Christ, and that she was free completely of sin, not just that she was sanctified by the birth of Christ, as some continue, actually some persistent believing today. That is directly rejected in that statement by Christ. Christ makes it clear there that his being born in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and him suckling at her breast is not what sanctified her. Her sanctity precedes all that. The blessedness in the Blessed Virgin Mary, just like with all of us, comes from the total obedience to Christ and his law and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. That is only possible when we have freed ourselves from slavery to sin. That's what St. Paul teaches us. And the ascension enables us to achieve greater things even than those disciples of Christ who were with him while he was yet alive. And therefore, we're more manifestly dependent on him. We make ourselves dependent on him without his fleshly presence in human form. Now, obviously, his flesh is still manifest in the Blessed Sacrament on the altar, and we go there to receive the same refreshment that inevitably his apostles must have had sitting around him, listening to him teach. Being in the presence of Almighty God, as no man had hitherto been. We have that. But we do not have that all the time. We cannot live in an adoration chapel. We go out into the world. It's our vocation. And so the presence of Christ must be cultivated in our interior life and the reception of the Holy Ghost, which was made possible by his ascension. You see how it all ties together. And that's really the essence of the ascension as it ties into what we've been talking about so far with the interior life. The interior life comes from the reception of the fleshly form that has been given to us by Christ and the reception of the spiritual form that has been given to us by Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. And preparing ourselves, allowing ourselves to become seats of the Holy Ghost in which he might fit himself, rather like a circuit board or an electrical circuit or, heck, if you're building with wood, you know, it used to be you made them without nails and all of that because nails were so expensive, so you would dovetail. And I'm sure somebody has seen, one of you has seen at some point, several of you probably have seen at some point, a cedar chest, an old cedar chest, where they dovetailed them into place, the pieces. We are called by Christ to carve out, we're to work a little carpentry, and carve out ourselves so that the dovetail of the Holy Ghost might fit in ourselves. And indwelling, we might become something of utility to God. Now, what are a couple of cedar boards? They're just cedar boards. They're just planks. A plank is nothing. I suppose you can stand on it. You could hit somebody with it. But really, it doesn't serve a utilitarian purpose until you actually carve it and put it to use. When a man actually plies his hands to it and forms it by violence, by carving and cutting and sanding and hammering. Think of yourself being carved, hammered, rubbed down, so that you can fit with the Holy Ghost and become something useful. A cedar chest preserves old clothes. That's the reason why they use cedar. It protected the garments that were kept inside of it. I've protected a good number of things. Keep away the eating insects. And what can we do but to guard and protect those virtues? Keep them away from the buzzing of the flies of Beelzebub. That's what we're called to do. That's the indwelling of the Holy Ghost in us, made possible by the ascension of Christ, and resulting from the lesson taught by his ascension, moreover. And so that brings me to the prayer that I have today, which is that all of us, by permitting the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, by seeking Christ in the only fleshly form that is left to us in his sacred body in the Blessed Sacrament, might come to be something of utility to Almighty God, that we might, as those unliving and unfeeling things which in life he did fashion and form under the tutelage of St. Joseph, make into things that served a higher purpose, we too might allow him to ply his trade upon us, that we might be things of utility to him, that we might do the work of God, even if in spite of ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.